I have to say I'm feeling a little emotional looking out at the audience and seeing my family. And you have to understand, my side of the family, we're not morning people. This is a real sacrifice to be here at 9 o'clock, right? We don't do mornings. So thank you. And seeing such sweet friends as well, being here, it means so much to me. My prayer and my hope today is that we can all leave encouraged and just with a real sense of that God's love and His grace, it's always with us. And so I hope that that can happen today. So the title of my talk is Frozen, Lessons That We Can Learn from Queen Elsa and Princess Anna. If you're under the age of 10, you probably know who these two women are, Queen Elsa and Princess Anna. And if you're not the parents of young children, then you might not know these two characters. It was about maybe 6 months ago. Until then, I was oblivious to who these people were. And but then Earl and Kathy's granddaughter, Maya, you're Maya, yes. Roy and Andrea's daughter, Maya. She became fascinated with a Walt Disney movie called Frozen. And Andrea told me that if she let her, Maya would want to watch it all day long. She just loved that movie. And in fact, at the age of 18 months, she was able to, hello, Jackson. Hello, darling. At the age of 18 months, Maya was able to sing the song, Let It Go. You know the song, Let It Go, right? And I thought, what is all this hype about? Well, it turns out that Maya wasn't alone. The movie was a huge success, making over $1 billion, and this past January became the best-selling DVD in the United States. Kids absolutely love this movie, and like Maya, they want to watch it over and over again. So I was reading some material on the internet about the movie, and I actually came across a self-help website, let me quote, for the millions of parents worldwide who are experiencing a common condition called household frozen addiction. And it offered 12 tips, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, about for parents how to survive listening to your kids sing these songs over and over and over again. So a few months, I thought, I wondered what all this hype was all about. And so I was in Walmart one day and spotted the DVD and thought, I'm going to buy this DVD and I'm going to watch it. It's important for grandma, you know, to stay on top of these things. So I watched the movie and really enjoyed it, and particularly the end, because the end was not what I expected at all. This movie did not kind of go the way that a lot of our movies go. I think it was the next day, I went for a walk, and I was thinking about this movie, and I think I had a dawn moment, because I know that he walks and preaches, and I found myself preaching lessons that came out of the movie Frozen. And then God put it on my heart to share my thoughts in terms of a sermon. And so, you know, I can thank Maya that, you know, or say maybe it's her fault that here I'm standing, because God said you need to share these thoughts. So for those of you who have not seen the movie, I will be sharing some snapshots of it as I speak. So in the kingdom of Arendelle, Princess Elsa has the power of freezing things and creating ice and snow. So she would basically just like move her hands in a particular way, and she could build a snowman, and she could create an ice castle. And so her and her little sister, they loved to play in the snow. So they'd go into the ballroom in the castle, and Elsa would create a snow, and so the two sisters would play together, and they loved it. Well, one day when they were playing together, Elsa accidentally hit Anna on the head with her magical power, and it almost killed her. Later on in the movie, when Elsa becomes angry or she's in an emotional turmoil, she has difficulty controlling her powers. And as a result of this difficulty controlling her powers, there's a lot of destruction that happens. There's a lot of pain that happens. after Anna is injured, her parents take her to the healer in the movie, which is the Troll King. And the Troll King tells Elsa, "Your power will only grow. There's beauty in it, but there's also great danger. You must learn to be careful." The paradox of power. There are plenty of examples in our world where we have witnessed power being used for good and for bad. We know that power can equally build up and destroy. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul gets upset at the religious leaders for misusing their spiritual gifts and their power. These leaders were acting in such a way that they were creating divisions and cliques in the church, a problem, unfortunately, that has continued to happen throughout the centuries, a problem that leaves some people feeling in and some people feeling out. This unfortunate reality of an in-group and an out-group happens in many areas in our lives, whether it's in your school or in your job or in different realms of society. You know whether you are in the in-group or in the out-group. And it never feels good, does it, to be in the out-group? This recently happened to me, actually, when I was in California. I had the blessing of going there to hear the Pepperdine Bible lectures. I was there a couple of days before the lectureship started, so I had a little bit of free time on my hands, and I heard that there was this great healthy lifestyle fair at a local park. And I thought, oh, that I love that. I love that sort of thing. And, I'll definitely be part of the in-group because, I live a healthy lifestyle and I'm fairly educated in that area. And so I found my way to a golf course where I had to park my car and then get on a shuttle. And the shuttle took me off to this local park. And I wasn't there for too long when I figured out I was definitely not part of the in-group. Number one, I was way older than most people there. Number two, my clothing, which was a sundress, was way too conservative and covered up way too much of my body, according to what everyone else was wearing. And I think I was probably the only one not smoking pot. I'm like, okay, so that was really not what I expected this fair to be about. So, this situation was simply a situation of me being misinformed. But really there are so many times in life when people are excluded because of people misusing their power or their gifts for their own benefit. And, we may think that we don't have power. We can all think about others that have power over us, but we really do have power. Whether our power is based on our wealth or the color of our skin or our education or our age, there's so many factors that gives power to one over another. This is not the way of God. He sees us as all being equal. Whether we are students or grown-ups or messed up or rich, poor, black, white, young, old, God sees us. In God's eyes, we are all considered equal. And he extends his love and his grace to every single person. Think how different this world would be if every single person treated every other person as equal. Think about that. If we all treated everyone as equal, and if everybody did that in the world, we would definitely have a little bit of heaven here on earth. So back to the story of Elsa and Anna. So after Anna is accidentally injured by Elsa's powers, the parents bring them to the Troll King, and he does two things. Number one, he heals Anna, and he removes her memories of Elsa's magic. So the parents, the royal couple, they decide to isolate the children in the castle until Elsa can learn to control her powers, right? Sometimes you parents, you go to your room until you can learn to control your temper. Elsa was like, we're gonna isolate ourselves in this castle, Elsa, until you can learn to control your powers. But Elsa's right on board. She is so afraid of her powers hurting somebody that she stays in her room, and she actually doesn't even talk to her younger sister, Anna. So they went from having a really close relationship to a distant relationship because of Elsa's fears. So in the meantime, unfortunately, the parents go on a trip, and their ship sinks, and the parents die. And 3 years later, Elsa is of the age that there has to be a coronation, which forces her to open up the gates of the castle. Well, as you can imagine, Elsa was terrified. She was very stressed out about being exposed to everybody and possibly creating some sort of destruction. Anna, on the other hand, is delighted. She finally escapes the isolation of the castle, and she's thrilled. You can imagine that she's cooped up, she's lost her parents, and now she finally gets to explore outside of the castle. Well, every movie needs some romance, right? And so we see Anna meet Prince Hans at the party, and she immediately falls in love with him and decides that very day to marry him. This is a young woman who's desperate for a connection. She's lost her parents, she's lost her relationship with her sister, so we can see maybe why she so quickly needs to connect with another human being. So understandably, older sister Elsa does not think that this is a good idea for her sister to marry somebody that she's just met. And so they have an argument. And in the heat of the argument, Elsa loses control of her powers. And she accidentally freezes the entire kingdom of Arendelle. Now she's in a panic. And so she runs away from the castle to the nearby mountains, vowing to never return. She's going to isolate herself forever. She's not going to be responsible for any more harm. She goes to the mountains to find her freedom. So we're going to watch a clip from the film showing this journey to the mountain, and it features the song Let It Go. First time I heard that song, it really resonated with me. I don't know about you. Have you ever felt like I'm just tired of doing what I'm supposed to do? I'm feeling pressure, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I've had enough, there's just too many expectations, and I'm gonna get in my car and I'm gonna drive. Anyone ever feel that way? I certainly have. You know, or perhaps you're frustrated with God and you can't think that, or you think that it can't get any worse if you do it your own way. Like Elsa, you say, it's time for me to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. In fact, this song, Let It Go, has been referred to as an anthem of liberation, which is why it resonates with so many people. It's a really popular song. It resonates with people because people are looking for that freedom. Elsa says, I'm free from the stress and the fears that she's been facing since childhood, and she embraces this idea of liberation. Have you ever done this? Have you ever said, forget about my people in my life, my values, my beliefs? I want to walk away and I want to have freedom from all of this. And if you've done that, you know, how was that for you? How did it turn out? My guess is probably not well, because life apart from God is hell. And not only is it hell for you, it's hell for other people. Elsa's liberation, or what she thought was liberation, meant lifelong solitude. And we know that that's a recipe for misery. God created us in a way that we all need to be authentically connected to another human being. That's the only way that we live well and that we find happiness. And secondly, it meant this life of isolation for Elsa meant that Arendelle was going to be eternal winter, because Elsa had to return to the kingdom of Arendelle to use her powers to break the spell of winter. Sometimes we want our freedom so badly, despite the costs to other people. And in times of feeling overwhelmed and we've had enough, it's really easy to minimize the costs to others and focus on our freedom, our needs. But God tells us that freedom comes from our relationship with Him. We can find that freedom wherever we are. We don't have to run to the mountains. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the fruit of the Spirit, which we have within us when we focus our eyes and our minds and our hearts on the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Isn't that what we're yearning for? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We don't need to run to the mountains to find our freedom. It's right here in our relationship with God. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is summed up with one command. Love your neighbor as yourself." It always comes back to love. It always comes back to one of my favorite sayings, love wins. So let's go back to the story where love very much takes center stage at the end of the movie. Anna is not content that her sister has run away, and so she leaves Hans in charge of Arendelle and sets out in search of her sister. She's determined to bring her home. She's determined to end the winter in Arendelle, and she's determined to mend their relationship. Now, on this trip, she meets Kristoff. He's this unsophisticated mountain man. He sells ice, not a very good business when everything is frozen over. And she convinces him to guide her up the North Mountain to find her sister. So eventually, Anna and Elsa, they do reunite, but Elsa still wants to keep her distance from Anna. She's so afraid, again, that her powers are going to hurt her sister. So when Anna insists, "Elsa, you gotta come back to Arendelle," Elsa becomes agitated, and her powers once again lash out and accidentally strikes Anna in the heart. Her worst nightmare has happened again. Horrified, Elsa forces Anna and Kristoff to leave the mountain. She creates this big snow creature that chases them away. The power strike to Anna's heart immediately begins to age her and quickly will lead to her death. So once again, the healer, the Troll King, is consulted, and Kristoff and Anna are told that her heart was frozen and it can only be thawed by an act of true love. So Kristoff, who is becoming very fond of Anna, but believes that she loves Hans and can only be saved if Hans kisses her, he races back to Arendelle with Anna so that this can happen. He's desperate to save her life. They make it back to Arendelle, and when Anna reunites with Hans and begs him to kiss her to break the spell, the first surprise happens. He refuses to kiss her, and he admits his only intention of marrying her was so that he could get control over Arendelle. There's that power thing happening again. And he locks her in a room and leaves her to die. Anna manages to escape and then finds out that Kristoff is in love with her, this unsophisticated mountain guy. So now we know how the movie will end, right? We got it all figured out. Kristoff and Anna are going to kiss, and the spell will be broken, and Anna is going to be made well and whole again. But the plot thickens. Elsa returns to Arendelle, and Anna sees that Hans is about to kill her, about to kill Elsa. And at that moment, Anna runs and puts herself between the two so that she saves her sister. And at that very moment, she freezes solid. The act of true love did not happen fast enough. And now Anna has lost her life and she is a frozen statue. And then the second surprise happens. as Elsa is grieving for the loss of her sister, Anna begins to thaw. Since her decision to sacrifice herself to save her sister was the act of true love. I loved that ending. Did not expect it. Realizing that love was the key to controlling her powers, Elsa experiences a transformation and is no longer afraid of the power that she possesses, because she knows if it's based in love, then there will be no pain and there will be no destruction. And so the movie ends with the two sisters reconciling. That part of the movie totally surprised me. Initially, I thought for sure we're going to get the happily ever after ending when Hans and Anna kissed. And then when I found out that Hans was not a good guy, for sure, Kristoff and Anna were going to kiss and everything was going to be good, right? That's what happens. The knight in the shining armor always comes in to rescue the dame in distress. But that didn't happen. Anna believed that the act of true love that she needed to save herself was a love's true kiss. If only she could get Hans to fall for her or to get Kristoff to fall for her, then everything would be all right. There would be a happy ending in her life. Have you ever been there? I'm looking at some of you students. I remember, you know, being your age, being in school. Do you ever remember, if I could just get so-and-so to like me, everything would be great. I would be the happiest person on earth, right? You know, we yearn for something in our life that we hope is going to happen and that everything's going to work out really well. And aside from relationships, you know, there are things that we believe if we could have more money in our bank account, if we could have better health, if we could have a better job, it's going to result in our happily ever after ending. We all tend to write a script for our lives. We know how we want our life to go, and we have expectations. Anna planned on marrying Hans. Things certainly didn't turn out that way, for the better. Kristoff genuinely fell in love with Anna, and we expected that they would kiss and that everything would be fine, but that didn't happen. Sometimes we can be so sure of something, and sometimes those somethings never happen. And when we insist that our script has to happen in order for us to find our freedom and our happiness, when we lean into the future and insist that our expectations be met, well, that's what creates suffering. Something that I've learned through difficult times is that we can only find contentment and peace and joy in the present moment. Learning to sit comfortably with whatever comes my way, whether it's good or not so good, that's what gives me peace. If I cling to the past or I lean into the future and yearn for certain things, that will rob me of my peace and my joy. The only moment that any of us has is right now. This very moment, that's it. That's your life. And that's how we can find joy and peace. And in all of this, we can take comfort that God has a plan for us. In the book of Jeremiah, we read, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." But he also tells us in this life we will have trouble. So we put our trust in God, knowing that he has a plan for us. And he loves us, and he will embrace us with his love all through our lives. And if our lives are burdened with broken relationships, with poor health or other difficulties, and if there isn't a happy ending, because there isn't always a happy ending, isn't it wonderful that it really isn't the end? God has promised us eternal life. That's going to be more than we could ever imagine. There's going to be unending joy and unending peace. Every single thing will be perfect for eternity. It's something that we can embrace, the hope for that, the joy in knowing that that is our future, something that we can all be thankful for. Being thankful that God extends his love and his grace to every single person here, every moment and every day.